baby, here I am. I don't give a damn, cause I entertain them. Got a mic in my left and a honey in my right.
Hello, 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 Raider Nation. This is DJ Smooth, and you are tuned in to radio.dominica.edu, and this is going to be Raider Rage. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys had a fantastic week since we last met, or since I last talked, I should say, since you last tuned in. So I just, you know, get right into it. Let's Raider Rage. Here we go. So... it happened. It finally happened. My prayers came true. That day after I said Dennis Allen needed to be fired, guess what ended up happening? He was fired. After two seasons with the Oakland Raiders, head coach Dennis Allen was fired. And it was much needed. It was needed because this Raider team was showing no competitive. They weren't competitive. There was no heart, no leadership, just nothing. There was nothing. No energy. Nothing. Nothing. No energy. No. It was sad to watch. It was very sad to watch. And something needed to happen. There needed to be a change. There needed to be a mix-up of something. And it finally happened. So, Coach, you know, owner Mark Davis told Dennis Allen, you know, before the year, this was your year. You know, you got the draft picks that you wanted. You got some of the players that you wanted in free agency. You hired your coaching staff. You got the coaching staff that you wanted, and you didn't perform. And I think Coach Dennis Allen would not be fired if the Raiders were at least competitive in these four losses. Three of the four losses, the Raiders weren't even competitive. It wasn't even close. Nothing. Wasn't even close. And it was just, they were just getting run over by the opposing teams. So I think, like I said, I think if he would have, if the team would have been competitive, scoring some touchdowns, playing with some energy, him showing energy on the sideline, because sometimes when they show him on the sideline, he has no energy at all. It's just nothing. It's just, he's just standing there with his little red pen in the back of his visor doing nothing. That's what it seems like. But yes, you know, yes, you can say that the Raiders don't have they probably had the least talented team in the whole NFL. And that might be true. That might be very true. It might be true. But still, you gotta work for what you were given. But not work with what you were given. He picked the free agents that the Raiders signed this year. He handpicked all the players that they drafted this year. He handpicked all the coaches that he wanted on the staff this year. And the result ended in being 0-0 starting the season 0-4. And not competitive in three of them. Even in the Patriot game, where they lost 16-9, they were competitive, but you can see at the end of the game that bad decisions were made. And that goes on coaching. So Dennis Allen is out. He ended his Raider career, two seasons, his record 8-28. The Raiders were on a 10-game losing streak heading back into last year. So it needed to happen. There needed to be some change. Tony Sparano, the offensive line coach, now gets promoted to head coach. He will be the Raiders' 11th head coach in 19 seasons. That's not good. That's not a rate you want to be going to. So it was unfortunate because, you know, I had a lot of hope in Dennis Allen. Even after the 2-4-12 seasons, I thought, you know, this season, I thought he would turn it around. You know, what he was saying in interviews and during the off season, like, we're all in. We're here to win now. We're changing. It's not going to be the same old Raiders that you've seen the last decade. And I really bought into his stuff. I really did. I bought into his, you know, his vibe, the culture he was bringing to the team. I thought, you know what? This is going to be a good year. Yeah, we might not make the playoffs, but we're going to be competitive. And, you know, we're going to show the league that we're on the rise. And obviously, he was talking. He was just talking and he didn't act. He wasn't walking the walk. He talked the talk, but he wasn't walking the walk. 0-4. Just get dismantled by Houston and Miami. Two teams that no one sees really making the playoffs this year. Or not even being at least decent teams this year. The Jets, week one. They controlled the whole game against the Raiders week one. They ran the ball, ball possession, all of that. And the Jets, to let you know, guys, the Jets are not that very good. They're not even as it's like the Jets are not that good. So, you know, and the Patriots haven't been good either. So, you know, the Raiders played four, I don't want to say weak teams, but four teams that are not doing well at the start of this season. Four games that, you know, they could at least gone 2-2. At least get one win against one of these four teams. But Dennis Allen didn't lead his men to that victory. And also, like, the players' whole, like, attitude was just down. Like, I didn't see – there was just nothing. And that goes to the coach. The coach is the one that has to, you know, motivate his guys to play well. And I didn't see that. Like, even the, like, guys like the veterans that the Raiders brought in, like Justin Tuck and Lamar Woodley, Antonio Smith, Maurice Jones-Drew. And then guys he drafted like, you know, Carlos Rogers, Terrell Brown. I didn't see no energy from these guys. And even though they're veterans and they've been in the league and they've been around for a while, and they're probably older than Dennis Allen, who was 34 years old. Even though they were older than him, he still got to gain their respect. And he said, you know, this is my team. I'm the leader. And you got to listen to me and you got to do what I say because I'm your coach. And you need to listen to me. And if you want to win, you play the way I want you to play. If you don't want to play the way I want you to play, I'll get the next guy up and just sit you. Yeah, I don't care if you're a two-time Super Bowl champion. You need to listen to me and go by my rules because this is my team. And obviously, you can see that Dennis Allen didn't have that type of – that wasn't him. That wasn't his personality. That wasn't his character. And it's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. I really thought he would turn things. I thought he was the guy. I thought he would turn things around. But then again, I'm a Raider fan. And I think everyone they bring in is the guy, and they end up to disappoint me. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But you know, it was unfortunate. But the guy that they did name interim head coach, Tony Sparano, there's a lot of high hopes for him. A lot of high hopes. You know, he did lead the Dolphins to a division title in 2010. So, yeah, and he's the opposite. He's just the opposite of Dennis Allen. You can see, like, if you just go back and watch when he coached the Miami Dolphins, you can see him on the sideline screaming, cussing, getting in his players' faces. He can see he brings a lot more energy. He's very different from Dennis Allen. So that's what I think the Raiders needed. Because I know the Raiders were thinking about, you know, hiring or promoting Al Saunders or Greg Olsen to head coach. But I think it would have been just like another Dennis Allen. So I think Tony Sparano's a, you know, I don't want to say perfect hire because honestly it's not, I don't think it's going to be. I don't want to, you know, overstate that. I don't want to, you know, get my hopes up. But I think it's a good fit, a good hire, and it's what the Raiders need because I feel, you know, he has a lot of energy. He brings a winning experience, a winning culture as a head coach in the NFL, not like Dennis Allen. See, Dennis Allen did win with the Denver Broncos, but he was the defensive coordinator. He never controlled our coach, had to be in charge of a whole team before. He was in charge of the defense and what the defense was going to do, not the whole team. Whereas Tony Sperano, he's been a successful head coach in the league before with the Miami Dolphins. He took them to the playoffs 1 year. They won the AFC East. They won that division one year when Tony Sperano was there. And the AFC East at that time, you know, had Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. The New York Jets, I think, had Brett Favre at that time. So the NFC East wasn't, I mean, the NFC, I keep saying that, AFC East wasn't bad. But, so he knows how to win with good teams in his division. And the AFC West has good and, you know, great teams in their division. And that's the Raiders division, the AFC West right now. They got the Denver Broncos, who's just went to the Super Bowl last year. They got Peyton Manning, probably the best quarterback of all time. You got the surging hot San Diego Chargers. You got Kansas City, who's no joke. So the Raiders made a good hire by promoting Tony Sperano as head coach. And I think he's going to bring a lot. He's going to bring a lot of passion to the team. He has a lot to offer. And I feel like the way that Derek Carr plays on the field, how he shows emotion on the field, I think this Derek Carr with Tony Sperano is going to, you know, change the energy of the team. And hopefully Tony Sperano can get the defense to start playing better. Because, my God. Probably one of the worst defenses in the league the Raiders have. They need to get pressure on the quarterback. And I think Tony Sperano can do that. I think he's going to talk to you. I think he probably already has done this, but I probably sat down with the guys, the veterans, and say, you know, this is what I want from you. You know, I want you to, you know, motivate these young guys. I want you to play motivated. And let's start winning some games. Let's start bringing hope to the fans. Who've, you know, been, because Raider fans, us as Raider fans, have been here, stuck by the Raiders through this dark age. We've stuck by them. We've taken a lot of crap from other people, not Raider fans, that, you know, we're always the butt of the jokes. Always, oh, you're a Raider fan? How can you be a Raider fan? This and that. And, you know, it hurts. It gets old after a while. And, you know, we want to win. We want to win. And I hope the players can say the same thing. I hope they want to win. I'm pretty sure they do. But they're not showing it. It's not showing in the win column. It's not showing on the field. At least be competitive. At least be competitive. That's all I ask. And I think that's all Tony Sperano's asking. Yes, he wants to win games, but I think he just wants the team to be competitive because they have shown no competitiveness in these 4 weeks. None. You know, they got, and this upcoming game Sunday in Oakland against San Diego is not going to get it any easier because San Diego's the hottest team right now in the NFL. They just dismantled the New York Jets 31-0 yesterday. Phillip Rivers is playing the best football of his career right now. So they got to, you know, start. The team's got to get ignited. And that's what Tony Sperano is going to do. He's going to ignite this team. He's going to lit a fire up under them, you know, and get them going. They need to start working hard. If the Raiders are not competitive this upcoming game, then it's just more than the coach. There's more problems than just the coach. It probably got to, you know, it can't be just the coach's fault because the Raiders they're going to have 2 weeks to prepare for this game against the Chargers. And they're already familiar with the Chargers because they played the Chargers twice every year. So if the Raiders are not competitive this week, then it's more than the coach. I think it goes up to the top to Reggie McKenzie, Mark Davis, the players that they bring in. Then that's just different. And Rich Gannon, he went off on a radio station earlier last week. He went off. He said that the Raiders players and coaching staff and all them are stealing paychecks. That they just show up and don't work hard. Well, Marcel Reese took offense to that because he's one of the leaders in the team. And he said that, you know, he invited Rich Gannon to come to practice and see how hard they work. But Rich Gannon has a point. Yes, he's a former Raider, and should he be bashing his team? I don't have a problem with against that because he played for the organization. Yes, the Raiders gave him gave Rich Gannon the success that he had. They gave him an opportunity. But I feel like as a former Raider, and I feel like he wants to see his former team do good. I feel like, you know, if you played for a team and you've had the most success with that team in the past, I feel like even though you're doing other things, as Rich Gannon is, he's announcing football games for CBS. Even though you're doing other things, I feel like, you know, he really wants this team to do good. Like, deep down in his heart, he wants to see the Raiders play good. And I think all of these former Raiders do that are in, like, announcing and does all these football pregame shows. Like Howie Long, who does the Fox pregame show. You can see that he wants the Raiders to do well. And I think they just get angry, like us as fans. We get angry because we know we can do better than that. And we should be doing better what we're doing right now. And also, if the Raiders are not competitive and don't improve during this year, Reggie McKenzie, the general manager, might be on his way out too, because Dennis Allen is the guy that he hired. And he's brought it, you know, he hasn't brought in, the free agent signing that he's brought in hasn't really produced over these last 3 years. And the draft picks that he's chosen, Reggie McKenzie, haven't really produced. This was his best draft. The last draft that Reggie McKenzie had, according to analysts, this was the best draft that he's had. Because last year, his number one pick last year, DJ Hayden, he's been injured for most of his career. He's out the first 6 weeks. So Reggie McKenzie needs to tell Tony Sparano to make this Raider team competitive again, because if things stay the same, Reggie McKenzie might be on his way out. So, things need to change. And I feel like that Tony Sparano will bring change to this team. And we'll get more into that after the break. And also, some names that are popping up for, you know, the new head coach for next season. There's a lot of big names that have been, thrown out there, a bit rumored, that are interested in the Raiders job or the Raiders are interested in them. So we'll talk about that more after this break. This is DJ Smoove, and you're listening to Raider Rage on radio.dominican.edu.
Welcome to another Bosco Break. Today I've got a few stories for you, starting with the man on the moon, but what scientists call Oceanus Procellarum, the huge dark splotch on the moon visible from Earth. Either way, how did it get there? One commonly held view is that a massive asteroid slammed into the young moon and left its mark, but researchers at MIT say they've got new evidence showing that the 1,800-mile-wide region came not from beyond, but from within. Specifically from a volcanic eruption that unleashed a large plume of magma deep within the moon's interior. As the lava made its way to the surface and cooled, it created the dark spots we see today. In their study, researchers say one of the giveaways is that the new data from NASA shows that the region's border is not actually round, but is instead rimmed by structures that run in straight lines and intersect at angles, similarly to a rectangle. Such a shape is hard to attribute to a collision, which would be expected to produce a more circular rim. Definitive proof might not come unless astronauts return to the moon, but in the meantime, astronomy writer Phil Plait at Slate thinks the theory makes sense. I've always had a problem with the impact idea, he writes. Effects that would have accompanied such a huge meteor strike don't appear to be evident. In other news, if you happen to find some remnants of woven wool in your attic, in red, white, or blue, and marked Fort McHenry, the Smithsonian Institution would like to know. 200 years after a massive flag was hoisted over the fort in Baltimore that withstood a British attack, Americans from Maine to California may still have fragments from the original Star Spangled Banner. Not long after the huge 30-foot by 42-foot flag, inspired an 1814 poem by Francis Scott Key that would become the national anthem, its caretakers began snipping off pieces. By the 1880s, about 20% had been lost. Cutting up a flag today could be considered desecration, but back then, the clippings were given away as keepsakes. It was such a monumental moment in time that people felt they wanted to hold a piece of that history, said Jennifer Jones, a curator who oversees the flag at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History. Some are more valuable than others. The 15th Cotton Star was cut away sometime before 1873 and remains missing. That's all for your Bosco Break. Back to the show.
Thank you again for that Bosco Break, Bosco. So we are back here. Raider Rage, DJ Smooth. Beautiful Monday here in the Bay Area. So the Raiders fired Coach Dennis Allen, like I said earlier in the show. And now, you know, they promoted Tony Sparano as a head coach. And he's going to be, you know, take over for Dennis Allen. But there's been names thrown out there lately. There's been names, rumors. You know, rumors get crazy for sports when there's, like, always a job opening. For the Raiders, you know, who the Raiders want to hire potentially for next year. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the Raiders are going to just have Tony Sparano coach these 12 games and that's it. Because if Tony Sparano does good in these 12 games, then he's putting in his bid for this job as well. So I'm not just saying, oh, the Raiders just got Tony Sparano just for the rest of the season. He can also coach well and get the job later on. And, you know, they can extend his contract to keep him. But there's been names out there like John Gruden. John Gruden's name has been thrown out there lately. And his name's been thrown out there a lot. Like, before they coached Dennis Allen, you know, John Gruden's name was thrown out there. But everyone knows John Gruden does the ESPN Monday Night Football. And, you know, he's emerging as the number one candidate. And there's reports out there, like, later on, like, last year, saying that John Gruden does want to come back to coaching football. And that, you know, the Raiders would be his number one choice. And if you guys don't know, that the Raiders were John Gruden's first head coaching job in the NFL. And he, you know, led the Raiders to multiple AFC championship games, multiple, you know, playoff games. They had a lot of success, him and Rich Gannon. It was the good times before the dark ages began. And John Gruden, him and the Raiders had a kind of a bad falling out after the Tuck Rule game in 2001. John Gruden was then traded to the Buccaneers. And then the year after John Gruden was sent from the Raiders to the Buccaneers. The Raiders and Buccaneers met in the Super Bowl, and the Buccaneers destroyed us in the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's never been... The relationship's been... it's better now. It recovered from that bad ending. And, you know, John Gruden, they did a preseason game a couple years ago in Oakland, and John Gruden was the announcer, and you could just see it. He was just glad to be back. So there's been speculation that he's been wanting to come back to coach, and the Raiders are his number one spot. And it makes a lot of sense. Makes total sense, you know. The Raider fans will love this hire. It'll be a great hire. Raider fans will be more excited. Like, yeah, we got Chucky back, John Gruden. Chucky's his nickname because he looks like Chucky from the doll, Chucky from the horror movies. But the Raiders fans will be ecstatic. I'm ecstatic. Just thinking about it, I'm ecstatic. If John Gruden comes back to the Raiders, wow. I would go crazy. I really would. I would really go crazy. I would throw a party up in here. I really would. And it's just thinking about it gets me all excited. So let me just calm down a little bit. But yes. So John Gruden's been thrown out there. But he said that he's not thinking about coaching right now. Maybe he's just saying that to, you know, yeah, we don't know what right now means. Right now maybe mean like for the rest of the season, because, you know, he's got to broadcast and do all the whole Monday Night Football thing. He has the quarterback show that they do when the draft comes around. So maybe he's not thinking about coaching then. But maybe when the season ends, maybe it'll start getting on his mind. Hey, maybe I want to come back to the Raiders. Maybe I believe he thinks he can turn things around in Oakland. And I think he can turn things around in Oakland too. Because we haven't had a great coach since we've had John Gruden. Yes, Bill Callahan took us to the Super Bowl the year after, but that was John Gruden's team. That's why they beat us in the Super Bowl, because John Gruden built that team. He knew everything about that team. He knew the playbook, the players' tendencies. He knew what Rich Gannon was going to do. He knew Rich Gannon. He knew the Raiders inside and out. So we need a guy like John Gruden back. And I hope it happens. I really do. Just John Gruden back in silver and black would be the greatest. It was just the greatest thing to happen to the Raiders since they went to the Super Bowl. It would be the greatest thing to happen for the Raiders in this last 12 years. But he said he's not thinking about coaching. His brother, Jay Gruden, the head coach of the Washington Redskins, said he wouldn't be surprised if John Gruden did go back. So we'll see what happens there. But that's an interesting thing to keep your eye on. It's very intriguing. Came out this weekend, Mike Holmgren was emerging as an Oakland Raider head coaching candidate. Mike Holmgren, he's been around. He's old. He's 66 years old. They said he's been thinking about coaching again. If you don't know who Mike Holmgren coached in the past, he coached the Green Bay Packers when they had Brett Favre back in the 90s. I think they won a Super Bowl. Then he went to Seattle. He had a successful years with the Seattle Seahawks. Then after coaching, he became a front office type guy, like a general manager type guy with the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, they didn't have any success there, but he's respected. Mike Holmgren is a very in the league. So that's an interesting thing. They said there was rumors out there that he did go to the Raiders facility, and he confirmed those rumors. He said he did go to the Oakland Raiders facilities, but nothing happened. No job was discussed. He just, I guess, wanted to go visit. That doesn't make any sense. I don't know why they lie to us like that. Why do they lie to us like that? Like, I don't get it. Like, just say, yeah, we discussed a job. Because obviously, what were they discussing? Why did he visit? What was the whole point to visit, first of all? Did he miss Mark Davis? He had nothing to, like, he has nothing to do with the Raiders. Like, who is he connected to with the Raiders? except Reggie McKenzie, because Reggie McKenzie was brought up in Green Bay. That's where he learned all his techniques and all his experience was in Green Bay. That's the only connection I see. And if he's going there to meet up with Reggie McKenzie, you know Reggie McKenzie's going to bring up, hey, you know, I got an opening head coaching spot. Are you interested? They obviously discussed it. They had to. What were they talking about? Like how bad we are? That doesn't make any sense. And if they even were talking about how bad we were, obviously, you know, the head coaching position had to come up. I don't know why they lie to us like that. Why do you lie to us? Just say the truth. Just tell us the truth. Why are you having us guess? We're not even guessing because we know it came up. We know it did. Why are you acting like that, Mike Holmgren? Just say, yeah, I talked about the position. I don't know if I'm interested or not. Because he did say, I'm probably not going to be the Raiders head coach. What is probably not? So he must have thought about it. He might still be thinking about it. It's not a dead end there. There's still hope. There's still a little life in Mike Holmgren. So he might be the head coach. And that would be, I don't think it would be the best fit for the Raiders. But at least they'll get somebody that's, you know, knows what it takes to win. And that's what the Raiders need, a leader that knows what it takes to win. And everyone they brought in is not that. We thought Justin Tuck was going to be the guy in the defense. He hasn't really showed anything throughout the season. So I don't think it needs to be a player. I think it needs to be a coach. A coach that players respect. Because I felt, to be honest, I felt like none of the players on the Raiders roster ever respected Dennis Allen. I'm going to throw that out there. I don't think they respected him. I didn't respect him. As a fan, I didn't respect him. Even when they brought him in, I was like, you know, he did have a good defense and all. He did lead, you know, he turned Von Miller into what Von Miller is today. But he didn't win anything. Yeah, they made it to the playoffs, but his defense gave up that Hail Mary to Joe Flacco. And then the Ravens went on to win the Super Bowl. You know, and the Raiders need to bring in a guy with experience that knows how to win, because the coaches that they brought in since Bill Callahan, I mean, since John Gruden. They haven't really. There's been none with experience. They brought in Bill Callahan. Yeah, Bill Callahan was John Gruden's right hand man. But he didn't really have much success in the NFL before he took the Raiders job. Then they brought in Norv Turner. Everyone knows how Norv Turner is as a head coach. Garbage. Everyone knows. He's horrible. Even look what he did in San Diego. And San Diego's team had more talent than the Raiders team did back then. God, Norv Turner. That was a bad time. It was a really bad time. It was so bad. Jesus. And then, who after Norv Turner? Oh, Art Schell. Poor Art Schell. They just brought him in just because. Poor Art Schell. He only lasted 1 year. Man, I feel bad for Art Schell. I don't know. Art Schell, why did you take that job, Art Schell? Just tell me why. Please. Call up. Call me right now. Art Schell, why did you take that job? I don't know what you were thinking. After Art Schell, there was, was it Tom Kiffin? No, it wasn't Tom Kiffin. Lane Kiffin. You guys remember Lane Kiffin? God. Why did they bring in Lane Kiffin? Lane Kiffin, when they brought in Lane Kiffin, he was even a head coach in college. He was the offensive coordinator for the USC Trojans. Not even the head coach. They didn't even call up Pete Carroll because Pete Carroll at the time, before he was the Seahawks Super Bowl winning coach, he was the USC's head coach. And why didn't they just say, Pete Carroll, you want this job? No, they went straight to Lane Kiffin. And look at that, how that ended up. Lane Kiffin. Oh, God. Lane Kiffin was the first Dennis Allen. Lane Kiffin was the first Dennis Allen. God. Yeah, now thinking about it, they're the same type of coach. Lane Kiffin and Dennis Allen. Wow. But yeah, so they brought in Lane Kiffin. Then they fired him because he didn't know what he was doing. And look at what Lane Kiffin's done now. He went to Tennessee, I guess had a successful year there. Then he went to USC. And USC had him for a couple of years, and then they just fired him. They didn't even let him come back on the plane. They just said, you know, you got to find your own way home because you're garbage. You're trash. And Lane Kiffin is trash. Now, I think he's with Alabama as an offensive coordinator. That's what he – and, yeah, so – and then after Lane Kiffin, they brought in Tom Cable. Tom Cable just started beating up people, beating up his own coaches. He was like Al Davis's hitman. He was like one of the Sopranos. And then after Tom Cable, this is actually Hugh Jackson was actually decent. Hugh Jackson was decent. The only thing that messed Hugh Jackson up was when Al Davis died, Hugh Jackson thought he ran the whole team. He thought he was Al Davis's son. He thought he was the owner, started making trades for Carson Palmer, trade our future away for Carson Palmer. And then they lost the game to the San Diego Chargers that would have put the Raiders into the playoffs. So, yeah, Hugh Jackson was decent. He's actually been another name that they've thrown out there, Hugh Jackson. So the Raiders need a guy who will be respected in the locker room. I felt like none of those guys that I just named were ever respected in the locker room by the Raiders players at their time. And this is actually interesting. There's been one name that just leaked out yesterday, and it's very interesting. It's a long shot, but it could have. I would not be surprised if it did happen. Jim Harbaugh's name's been thrown out there for the Raiders job. Yes. The San Francisco 49ers head coach, Jim Harbaugh, has been thrown out there for the Oakland Raiders job. And then it came out yesterday that he said he would love, his words, quote, love being the Raiders head coach. Because there's obviously there's been rumors out there that Jim Harbaugh is not clicking. He's not getting along with the 49ers. The front office. There's been reports out there that they're not even commuted. They don't even talk to each other. He just shows up, you know, talks to his players, talks to the coaching staff, does his job, doesn't even talk to the owner, the front office people like that. And that's interesting. Maybe that's why the 49ers have been struggling this year. So, yeah, there's been rumors out there that Jim Harbaugh, who started his NFL coaching career with the Raiders back in 2002 as the quarterback's coach, that he might come back to Oakland and be the head coach and might turn things around. So that's interesting. You know, oh, God, you know how much, oh, the San Francisco wouldn't know what to do. Their coach going to the Raiders. That, oh, my God. It would just be a straight just hatred, just the hatred. There's already hatred there, but it was just even intense even more if Jim Harbaugh went to the Raiders. And that would be a great pickup for the Raiders. Great pickup. There's a strong possibility that this might happen. People might not be talking about it because they're like, oh, it's a long shot. Jim Harbaugh would never leave the 49ers. But you might be wrong because Jim Harbaugh was discussed in a trade during the offseason. The Browns called the 49ers, personally called the 49ers and said, we will offer you a couple draft picks for Jim Harbaugh. The 49ers obviously didn't take it. But like I was talking to my roommate who's a 49er fan. I was talking to him yesterday about it. I was like, you know, Jim Harbaugh might go to the Raiders. He's all, oh, that never happened. And then I brought up the Browns trade. And he was like, oh, yeah, the Browns offer that, but the 49ers were going to take it. That doesn't mean there's – he said that doesn't mean there's any tension between the front office and Jim Harbaugh. And then I told them, like, I was thinking about it, and I was like, why would the Browns call for Jim Harbaugh if they knew that he wasn't going anywhere? They obviously got a word. They have one of their, they have a source that said, you know, Jim Harbaugh and the 49ers ain't really clicking right now. So obviously, why would they offer some good draft picks, a good deal for Jim Harbaugh if they knew that he wasn't going to go anywhere? That'd be a waste of time. So obviously there's something up over there in San Francisco. And 49er fans don't want to hear it, but Jim Harbaugh said he would love to coach the Raiders. And if the 49ers do decide to let go of Jim Harbaugh or trade him to another team, his wife, Jim Harbaugh's wife, wants to stay in the Bay Area. So there's only two teams in the Bay Area, and he's already coaching for the 49ers. So if he leaves the 49ers, there's only one place he has to go if his wife wants to stay in the Bay Area, and that's the Oakland Raiders. He's not going back to Stanford. There's been rumors out there that he's interested in the Michigan job, but why do you want to go back to college if you already had success in the NFL? And that's the thing. He's got a way that is the Michigan job better than the Raiders job? I don't think it is, because I think the Raiders have a lot. Call me biased, but the Raiders have a lot to offer. You may not see it, but they do. They got a stud on defense that they just drafted in Khalil Mack. They got a stud at quarterback in Derek Carr, who's proven that he can, and give him a couple more years, that he can be one of the top quarterbacks in the league. So the Raiders' job's not that bad. It's not as bad as people think. It's not as bad as people think. People think, oh, the Raiders, wow, who do they have? Yeah, we might not have big names, but we have young guys that people don't know about that will start learning about them in the next couple of years. Like Derek Carr, Khalil Mack, like I said, Gabe Jackson on the offensive line, Justin Ellis on the defensive line, Keith McGill at corner. There's a lot of young guys that the Raiders have that people around the league don't know about. So if Jim Harbaugh comes to the Raiders, whoo, that was just. And we also, yeah, I'm talking about, you know, Jim Harbaugh, John Gruden, Mike Holmgren, big name guys for this Raider job. But I can't, you got to also give Tony Sparano his chance to earn this job, because Tony Sparano's not a bad coach. He's had success in the NFL, and I think the players respect Tony Sparano more than they did Dennis Allen. You got to, you know, got to give him a chance. He's not bad. He's not a bad choice. That was the best choice that the Raiders had at this time. And I think that he will ignite this team. Like I said earlier in the show, I think he will ignite this team, and you'll see it Sunday against the San Diego Chargers. You'll see it, because I feel like he knows what this Raiders organization has been in the beginning. You know, what they were, their legacy, and how this commitment to excellence and just win, baby. He knows that, you know, the Raider organization deserves better than what they've been performing for the last 12 years, this last decade. But we'll see. They got the game against the Chargers. Talking about the Chargers, after this break, I'll start previewing the game about Raiders-Chargers. First division game for the Raiders. Chargers are hot, so we'll get into it after this break. This is DJ Smooth, and you're listening to Raider Rage on radio.dominican.edu. You're just too good to be true.
Can't take my eyes off of you. You be like heaven. Coming at you with another Bosco break. Christina Chesterman, 21, was studying to be a nurse when she was killed by a suspected drunk driver last year. But she managed to save lives anyway. A registered organ donor, Chesterman gave 5 people, including a baby, new life, and now the woman who received her heart wants to do something in return. Susanna Vieira, 64, has vowed to check off everything on Chesterman's bucket list, written down on a piece of paper her mom recently found. One of the items, save someone's life. another, be in four places at once. Kind of trippy, if you ask me. Vera had completed several of the tasks already, including learning to fly a plane and riding a camel, ABC News reports. Vera says, together, we will finish her bucket list. I'd like to thank all things I continue to accomplish in my life. I'm taking Christina with me, Vera continues. Chesterman's mom adds that she felt an instant connection to the woman she just met. Chesterman's friends are also helping to complete the bucket list, including one who took Chesterman's picture along for a first-class flight and another who went skydiving in her honor. You wonder why someone like that is taken so young, but I believe Christina was one of those very rare people who was so complete as a person already, says one friend. The rest of us are just a work in progress. As for another miracle, Jahia McMath, the 13-year-old girl declared brain dead not long after having her tonsils removed in December, has been kept on feeding and breathing support at St. Peter's University Hospital in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Now, the Oakland, California girl's family says Jahi is once again showing brain activity, and they're asking a Bay Area court to walk back its declaration that she is dead. The newspaper notes that were this to happen, it would mark the first time an individual declared brain dead was found to regain brain activity. One prominent physician says such a reversal would be miraculous and would force us to re-examine the whole nature of death in America. Then he added, but I don't believe it. The family's attorney, meanwhile, says he has medical experts, including world-class experts on brain death, who will testify she is not brain dead. In court documents filed Tuesday, Christopher Dolan also said and claimed Jahi now responds to commands given by her mother. He says the determination of brain death occurred when there was swelling in her brain, and he says that swelling has subsided. While family members haven't disclosed who is privately paying for Jahia's care, they've acknowledged that by reversing her status as dead, she'd be eligible for state benefits just like others who are on ventilators and not brain dead. A hearing is set for Thursday. That's it for your Bosco Break. Get back to the show.
Thank you again, Bosco, for those very intriguing breaks. So before we get into the next segment, I just want to say, tune in Friday to radio.dominican.edu for the Penguin Press Pass. Me, DJ Smooth, will be hosting this week's episode of Penguin Press Pass. So please tune in, 12:30, radio.dominican.edu, the Penguin Press Pass, and I will be the host. So like we said, like I was going into earlier, the Raiders' upcoming game is here in Oakland against the San Diego Chargers. God, I hate the San Diego Chargers. Hate them. Don't like them. They think they're all that just because they're 4-1. They're the hottest team in the league. Phillip Rivers is playing the best football he's ever played before in his career. And, you know, there's been a lot said, you know. Raiders don't like the Chargers. Chargers don't like the Raiders. It's just hatred. Like, the Chargers, back when Marty Schottenheimer was the Chargers coach, before they played the Raiders, they had Raider Week. They had to prepare. And they did a whole bunch of extra stuff just because they were playing the Raiders, just because they didn't like them. So, you know, there's a history. These teams have split the decision the last couple of years. They've split the two games. So this will be the first game of two this year. And I feel like the Raiders are going to put up, they're going to be competitive this week. I feel like, you know, Tony Sparano, the Raiders got a new head coach, and Tony Sparano, I feel like he's going to go all out this game, because he knows that if the Raiders end up playing bad this week, then the whole coaching staff might go after this year, because it's real bad. Because it's going to be real bad. It's a rivalry game. Also, is the Chargers are one of the best teams in the league right now. Hate to say it, but they are. They dismantled the Jets yesterday. They've won their last three games after, actually, last four games after losing their first one to the Cardinals, which they should have won. They should be undefeated right now. But, yeah, they've definitely just have beaten all the teams. They've beat the Seattle Seahawks. They've beaten the Buffalo Bills, the New York Jets, and Jacksonville Jaguars. And in those four wins, they hasn't been really close, except the Seattle game. But the Chargers really dominated that game. They controlled the game, controlled the tempo and everything. So the Chargers are playing the best football out of anyone right now in the league. And what the Raiders got to do, which I probably say every week, you got to put pressure on the quarterback. Plain and simple. They got to get Phillip Rivers, you know, irritated. Got to get him, you know, yelling at his players, yelling at the coaches, yelling at himself. They got to rattle him. Because no quarterback, especially Phillip Rivers, does not play good when they're rattled. Not play good. They got to get in his face, maybe talk a little smack, talk about his wife, talk about his kids. I'm just playing. Don't say that. I didn't mean that. I did, but I don't. But yeah, they got to get in his face. And also, the key here, got to stop the passing game, because the Chargers are one of the best passing teams in the league, but their rushing is not good. Ever since they lost Danny Woodhead and Ryan Matthews to injury, Chargers are ranked 31st in rushing. You know, once you want to know who's behind the Chargers, the Raiders. So it's going to be so the Raiders got to man up. They got to just step up on the pass defense, which they can. The Raiders are ranked 4th in pass defense. So I feel like it's going to be interesting. And people don't talk about the Chargers and their bad rushing game. I haven't heard that on, you know, on the ESPN NFL Network. None of that. They talk about how great Phillip Rivers has been playing. But if you get in his face, like Arizona did a great job. Even though it was a close game, the Chargers should have won. Arizona did a great job in getting in the face of Phillip Rivers. And they made them run the ball. So they can't give Antonio Gates these open passes, because Antonio Gates has been on fire. Him, Eddie Royal, who else? Keenan Allen, Malcolm Floyd. The Chargers receivers are hot. They're just getting open and just finding just little open spots in the defense, little holes. But the Raiders, you know, Antonio Gates always kills the Raiders. Always. So the Raiders got to make the Chargers run the ball. And the Raiders got to stop the run, because the Raiders have the worst rush defense in the league. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be a great game. I feel like it's going to be a very competitive game. I don't think the Raiders get blown out, what people think. People have been saying, you know, the Chargers might beat the Raiders by 20. I don't see it. I feel like the Raiders will put up a fight. They're at home. No more baseball field, because the A's are out of the playoffs. So it's going to be a regular football field where we can see the Raiders logo in the center of the field. You know, have Oakland Raiders in the end zones. Black Hole's going to be, you know, ecstatic. I've been to some Raider-Charger games, both in San Diego and Oakland. And trust me, Oakland, when the Chargers come to play in Oakland, it gets rowdy. It really does. The fans get excited. Black Hole gets pumped. So it's going to be a great game. Really, I really do. It's going to be a close game. I hope the Raiders can pull it off. Got to turn the season around now, boys. Got to turn it around now. Because if you lose this game, it doesn't get much easier. Doesn't get much easier. You got Arizona after, the Browns. You get Seattle in Seattle. You got to play Denver, Kansas City. It's not getting easier. So, you know, let's pull off a win this one. Let's do it for Tony Sperano, the interim head coach. Let's do it for him. Do it for yourself. Do it for the fans of Oakland. Let's have some pride, you know. Show them what you're made of. But, you know, and no word on if Derek Carr is going to play or not. I don't know. I haven't heard anything. It's been on the DL, but I expect him to play. If not, maybe they throw in Matt Schaub. I think he's back from, you know, missing the last two games because of the birth of his child. Not Matt McGloin, but please, let's not put Matt McGloin in. Let's please not put Matt McGloin in, because, Jesus, that outing against the Dolphins was not good. But, and also another key for what the Raiders got to do is they got to run the ball. They got to be successful running the ball. Maurice Jones-Drew and Darren McFadden have to step up. So does the offensive line. They got to make holes. They got to protect the quarterback. And the Raiders got to start putting more points on the board. 14 points is not going to do it. That's the Raiders' highest scoring game. 14 points. That's just sad. 14 points? High school teams put more points up than the Raiders do. 14 points? So they got to start getting the ball. They got to get in the end zone, start scoring some touchdowns. You know, because field goals ain't going to win you games. You know. I love Janikowski and all. Got him on my fantasy team. More points for him. But, you know, I'd rather see the Raiders win than my fantasy team win, to be honest. You know, Sebastian Janikowski can start kicking extra points. That's what we want him to start kicking. We don't want him to make 50-yard field goals. We want him to make those extra point field goals. We want touchdowns. Touchdowns. No field goals. Touchdowns. And I think the Raiders can do that this week against San Diego. San Diego defense has been scorching hot lately, but I feel like the Raiders can control the ball, move the chains, give it McFadden and Maurice Jones-Drew, get some, you know, 4 yards there, 5 yards there. If they average around 4 or 5 yards a carry during the game, I feel like the Raiders can win this game. It's going to be close, maybe, you know, 20-17. But Raiders got to man up this week, guys. Got to man up because your jobs are on the line, basically. Season's on the line. 0-4. You still got 12 games left. You can, you know, make something out of this year so it won't be a whole loss. You can make, you know, you got 12 games to prove what you got, because if you keep on playing the way you've been playing for these next 12 games, trust me, there's going to be a big old change. They're going to just blow it up and just start over. And that's been the Raiders' problems over this last 12 years, is that a lot of regrets, a lot of bad choices have been made, a lot of bad draft picks have been made. So this is the time to show the NFL that, you know, yeah, we had a bad 4 weeks, but, you know, we're here to play and we're here to be competitive, like what everyone expected before the season started. So we'll see. But Chargers, Raiders, 105, tune into the game. I think it's on CBS. So here at the O.co Coliseum here up in the Bay Area, it's going to be a good game. I know, Raider fans, I know you don't, you want to believe it, but you're not really sure. But it is. Trust me, it's going to be a good game. The Raiders are going to, you know, bring the intensity to the game. It's a rivalry game, first division game. They need to, you know, start catching up in the standings. And trust me, if they beat the Chargers this week, trust me, you know, they're going to start thinking, oh, we can actually play football. We can actually hang with the best teams. We can beat the best teams, because Chargers are the best team right now, hands down in the league. Hands down. Clear AFC favorite to make it to the Super Bowl right now. That might be a bold statement, but it's true. They've been on fire. But trust me, if the Raiders win this week, their brain's going to start turning. Like, hey, we can do this. So tune in, 105, Raiders versus Chargers on CBS. We're running out of time here, so I just want to thank all my listeners for tuning in to Raider Rage. I'm DJ Smooth. Remember again, tune in to radio.dominican.edu for the Penguin Press Pass. I will be the host this week. And I'll see you next week. See you next week, Monday. Every Monday, 1 to 2, Raider Rage, when we'll talk about the result of what the Raiders do against the San Diego Chargers this Sunday. All right, thank you again. I'm DJ Smooth, and we'll see you again next week. Let it go. Let it go. I'm happy, baby.